patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
So I am in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. We never left Pennsylvania after watching that 3-game sweep of the Pirates at the hands of our beloved Blue Jays. Now in Philadelphia, going to the game tonight at Citizens Bank Park. And just a heads up here, everybody, our Airbnb is above a daycare, so it has been complete chaos this morning. Up early, whether we wanted to be or not. And if you hear yelling and screaming, that is the daycare.
Very nice. Very nice.
Buddy, well, it is so funny because whoever's looking after these kids, I love it because they'll start yelling and then she starts yelling. So they're like, ah! And she's like, what? What do you want? What do you want? And it's like, okay, well, that's not helping the noise, lady.
Yeah, that's having kids though. Oh, man.
Yes, right? Can you tell that I have no experience with it? I'm like, she keeps yelling. And you're like, yeah, that's...
kids are frustrating and drive you nuts. And sometimes that's...
Especially in groups, right?
And you're not allowed to shake them anymore.
That's right.
That's frowned upon.
See, Blue Jays fans and kids are the same, right? We're very annoying in groups to people. So
yes. Yes. One-on-one, we're great, but get more than two or three of us together. Good luck.
Okay. It is a Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon kind of day. And we have had, man, it is blowing my mind how much interaction we've been getting. It just continues to increase. So thank you so much to everyone listening. The grounds crew, we appreciate you muchly. You can always reach out on Twitter at @walkoffpodcast. On Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast. You can shoot us a DM if you'd like to be a part of the Discord. That thing is happening. It is all baseball talk, all Blue Jays talk, and it's going almost 24/7 as there are people from all over Canada and the world. Time zones mean nothing in our Discord. And then, of course, a tip of the hat to the Patreon. And, of course, we've offered a couple extra little, what would you call them? Benefits, I guess?
Yeah, friends with benefits. That's what we're looking for here.
Yeah. And it's, I do want to clear something up because I know there was, I forget who it was now. Someone commented on our MLB Mondays clip that you released. And they were like, so sorry to see you guys aren't on YouTube anymore. I will not get Patreon, which is fine. We are still on YouTube. We are still creating all sorts of free content for y'all. So don't worry. We've just beefed up our Patreon is basically all we have done. And
we got one comment that was like, you guys are not worth $4 a month. You're not even worth $3 a month. I was like,
oh, wow.
That's a strong opinion. That one hurt.
Imagine though, if you did think we were worth three, but four was the line.
No. Free.
Oh, free. Oh, we're not even worth
The free content. So,
okay. So he didn't hit the like button, obviously.
No, but still did help the algorithm with the comment. So appreciate it all the same. All right. We had a lot of people commenting that they saw you at the Pittsburgh games. You and your wife on TV quite a bit. A lot of people saw you in person, but were too shy to say anything, Scott. So
okay,
I just want to remind everybody, you are still at the games today and tomorrow.
Yes.
So come say hi this time.
Absolutely. And I do wish to just state, without a doubt, there will be far fewer Blue Jays fans at this Philly game than in Pittsburgh. It's just a much further trek. So let's stick together. If you see me, come say hello. Truly, I would love it.
There you go. If you have kids, yell at them right in front of Scott.
Right in front of me.
Scott will join in.
I'll join in. Sure. I'll yell at your kids with you.
Shut up. If your kids spill their popcorn, we all know how that's going to end, though. Okay. Exactly. From Twitter, the first one. So James YYZ, what is that? Is that Calgary?
YYZ is Toronto, I think.
Toronto. YYC is Calgary.
I shouldn't say I think. I know that it's Toronto because of Rush and their song YYZ as a tribute to Toronto. So there
you go. All right.
Geddy Lee. It's so funny, buddy. I ran into, what was her name now? It's irrelevant.
Not to her.
We're friends on Instagram now, so she might even see this and be like, "Oh."
I hope she sees this and you saying that her name is irrelevant.
But we were sitting next to her, and she, huge Geddy Lee fan. She's from Pittsburgh, but Blue Jays fan, Geddy Lee fan, Rush fan. She actually had a Geddy Lee little wood ornament made up, him all dressed in a Blue Jays uniform, which was very cool. And she messaged me afterwards and was like, "Hey, check this out." And she like posted the pictures of it. Super cool. So anyways, she is on this mission to talk to Geddy Lee at some point in her life. And she's like, his daughter runs a flower shop and his management is called this. And I was just like, "Hey, if you wind up talking to Geddy Lee, you tell him to come on the long toss, all right? You come."
I like
come
it.
Come talk some
like
Blue it. Jays. Yeah.
I like it. Big Jays fan, Geddy Lee. You always see him in the TD seats down there at the Rogers Center.
That's so right. Well, this was a quick left turn, really, out of the gate, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Try and keep us focused, folks. It's not going to happen.
All right. So on Twitter, James YYZ, YYZ. Says, "Hey boys, without a doubt, the worst move Atkins has done was trading Nick Frasso to the Dodgers. The kid is killing it. They're going to be sitting there with the next Clayton Kershaw, and we have, drum roll, wait for it, Mitch White."
Okay, so first of all, James, thank you for reaching out. Secondly, let's take a big breath here, my friend. All right. I am high on Nick Frasso as well. I was definitely a little disappointed to see him moved. For those of you who missed it, Nick Frasso was traded at the deadline last year in exchange for Mitch White from the Dodgers. Nick Frasso, 24 years old, went through Tommy John surgery and basically was recovering with the Blue Jays over the last 2 years. He had his rehab stint. Coming into the trade deadline, he was playing with the Dunedin Blue Jays. The kid throws gas, and that's what's exciting about him. He throws 101 to 102 miles an hour. Now, this year, he has looked incredible with the Dodgers AA team. So in 26.2 innings, he has a 1.01 ERA, a FIP of 2.01. FIP, just a reminder, that's ERA adjusted for weather. No, kidding. Stadium and defense is removed from the equation. So it has looked like he's getting a little bit lucky. But, I mean, a 2.01 FIP is still incredible. A whip of under 0.91. He's striking out 35% of his batters and only walking 5%. Yes, those numbers are great. It makes you salivate. Adam, how do you feel about this being the worst move Ross Atkins has ever made with the Toronto Blue Jays? Well, do we feel it's a little premature?
God, I don't have to dig too deep in the comment section to be reminded of how awful Ross Atkins is as a general manager and the terrible moves he's made. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. First of all, it's double A. Like,
yeah.
So let's just calm down a little bit. Second of all, it's like the Gabriel Moreno thing where it's like, even if he turns into something, even if Nick Frasso wins Cy Young Awards 7 years from now, we needed a bullpen pitcher last year. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
They needed a long guy. They needed someone
who wasn't
going to
help us last
start.
Year. We got a guy who was able to help us last year. Like, those are moves that just need to be made. I don't know. Guess what? We're going to trade pieces away this year that 6 years from now, we're going to be like, well, that didn't work out. But if it also gets us two extra wins this season, and it is what it is.
I do wish to just say, and I am not detracting from Nick Frazzo at all right? The kid has got a pile of potential and talent. But let's just reel it in a little bit, mentioning that he could be Clayton Kershaw, all right? Hall of Fame, first ballot, World Series sure. winning, Clayton Kershaw, like Cy Young Awards. Guys, I understand that Nick Frazzo looks good in Double A right now, but let's give it time before we completely lose our minds. And I'm not telling you how to be a fan. If you want to lose your mind over this, go right ahead. But I'm going to hold my losing it on this trade until Nick Frazzo is doing this at the big league level.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at.
But also, good on you, Nick Frazzo. Like, seriously, awesome to see. It's really tough to recover from Tommy John surgery. It is such a pain to rehab on your own, especially for a kid in his early 20s. So well done, Frazzo, making it all the way back. The fact he's even pitching in Double A, fantastic. So huge congrats.
Early morning here for me.
Yes.
It was a rough day with the computer. I went to turn it on. Mouse didn't work. I panicked. I had to save all my open tabs and notes the keyboard method, which is doing like the control alt tab to like
now, shift. Now, did you know this all, Adam? Next. Or did you have to Google? How do I save?
Yeah, no, I knew this because this has happened to me before recently. So the extra panic ensued when restarting my computer led to a completely black screen when it rebooted. And that's when you got the text from me saying, how tight are you for time this morning? Because I was starting to panic. All right. Next one comes in from Mike Knows More Than You. He says, I love how you guys think the Jays have been fine. They are a fifth place team. I love the Blue Jays, but this ain't it. Doesn't sound like Mike Knows More Than You does love the Blue Jays, Scott.
I don't know. I honestly, you know what? Again, going back to there is no rules to fandom. And if that's the way you wish to perceive this team, I don't think there's anything we could say to dissuade you. Now,
you know what? Hey, I just want to jump in here too. Mike Knows More Than You. Their life must be going very well to be this disappointed in a Blue Jays team that's 7 games over 500 at the start of May.
21 and 14 at the 35 game mark of the season. Listen, there's a few other numbers here that I think are worth mentioning. If you are, for whatever crazy reason, in a panic about this Toronto Blue Jays team that is only a game and a half back of the Baltimore Orioles, okay, Tampa Bay, let's start with the Rays. Now, this is the percentage of games played at home this season to date, AL East teams. So the Tampa Bay Rays have played 63% of their games at home, two-thirds they've played at the Trop. And everyone knows how well Tampa Bay plays in complete silence. So this is just a real boost for the team. Okay. Yeah. The Boston Red Sox have played 56% of their games at home. The New York Yankees have played 55% of their games at home. The Baltimore Orioles have played 38.2% of their games at home. The Toronto Blue Jays, 34% of their games at home. So the Jays have been on the road for 66% of the time. The Jays have played two-thirds of their games away from the Rogers Center. And yes, I know there's probably fans that are like, well, this is Toronto's choice. They asked the league because of renovations. Yeah, that's irrelevant as to why they've played this many games on the road. Okay. The point here is this team plays better at home and they haven't been at home and they're 7 games over 500. So if this is something you wish to panic about, all I can say is go tour, you know, like the world's your oyster, panic away. you're not going to convince me this is a fifth place team in the AL East. You're just not. I'm sorry. And time will tell. Maybe I'll eat my words and we'll all be, and then we will all sit here and cry together about what a shit team this is. But I don't think that's the case. I really look at these other AL East teams and I really do think that there's regression coming. I know we talked Tampa Bay yesterday on MLB Mondays, our Patreon exclusive. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what we basically came to was that the Rays can't play 800 baseball all season. It's never been done. No one's ever won 135 games. It's not going to happen. They just haven't hit their down part of the season yet. And all we can hope as Jays fans is that when they do, the Jays are hot and they're ready to pounce. Seven games back is a lot, but also it's what, May 9th? Is it, you know, like, anyways, again, thank you. Thank you for the comment, but I completely disagree with that one.
I sometimes when I see comments like this, I'm taken back, Scott. I'm taken aback. I don't know the right term here. But I start to go, am I just looking at this team through rose colored glasses? Like, am I just too high on this team? So I do like to go to neutral territory and see what like, let's go to MLB.com or ESPN or not Sportsnet.
Yeah, someone right? Who's a little less biased, you know, right? Like.
Well, and if they are biased, because everyone has biases, but it's not to Toronto. No one for MLB.com other than Keegan Matheson is biased to Toronto. So anyways, the as of yesterday, power rankings for the entirety of the MLB has the Blue Jays at number 4 in all of baseball. So are they?
Which reminds me of it's funny because I was just in Discord kind of looking for comments. And one of them was from Sentimental Hygiene, just a tip of the hat to Sentimental Hygiene. He's been there a long time. One of the OGs in the Discord, but his comment was someone had posted the power rankings and his comment was everyone here knows how much I think the power rankings are full of shit, unless the Blue Jays are in the top 5.
Well, there's so four. Look, there's 4 AL East teams in the top 6. I'm not even kidding. It is Rays number 1, Braves number 2. Then we got Orioles 3, Blue Jays 4, Dodgers 5, and Red Sox number 6.
Unreal.
Yankees number 14, by the way. So
yeah.
Panic setting in New York. I'm sorry. This is objectively a good baseball team. I don't know what else to tell you.
I don't either. And I, again, no way to be a fan. We're not here to tell you how to be a fan. Feel free to, if you want to take that little black cloud and let it follow you around and ruin all your Jays takes, all the power to you.
Yep. All the power to you. All right.
What I loved about that comment, we are going to move on, Adam, but what I love about that comment, he sent that after the Pittsburgh sweep. So it's like it wasn't even when there was a reason to be super negative, right?
Well, yeah, when you sent that to me, I did assume that this was following the Red Sox sweep.
Yeah, no.
I was like, all right, doom and gloom setting in. But no, if this is a recent comment, then yikes. Pirates. Have they been, they are who they are? Like, have they been exposed?
Listen, the truth is with the Pirates, they're in the National League Central and they're a good team for that division. But talking to their fans, man, like literally I overheard a group of their fans talking about this is such bullshit that we've got to play 6 games in a row against AL East teams.
Oh, man, can you imagine that?
All I can think is I'm like, yeah, try doing it the whole month of September.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. So they got swept by the Rays. They got swept by the Blue Jays. But, hey, they're off to Colorado and they're winning again. Yes. So there you go.
Yes.
It'd be funny if Baltimore, who they're in Baltimore after this Colorado series, it'd be funny if Baltimore swept them too. But
I almost hope they do. And I like the Pirates as a team, but you know what? I got a little frustrated with Pirates fans starting to come out of the woodworks. I've got buddies of mine who are Pirates fans in my fantasy league. They're like, they're for real. And I'm like, okay, I'll give you they're a little for real, but like when they're playing the best teams, they're not for real. I mean, come on, the Jays outscored them 22-3. I'm not saying it wasn't a bad series for the Pirates. There's more to it than just that. But I mean, six losses in a row to AL East teams? I don't know.
It's like when you're like, dragons aren't real. And then they're like, what about Komodo dragons? And you're like, okay, well, technically, but they're not breathing fire and flying around, right? Like, let's get real here. The Pittsburgh Komodo dragons are not.
Yeah, that's right. The Pirates are real to dragons as Komodo dragons are. They're the Komodo dragons.
Okay. Let's get right back on track here.
You know, we won't stay there.
No, we certainly won't. All right. So speaking of ending a losing skid, Ron from Toronto in Discord said, what a great way to come back after a 5-game losing skid, not only sweep the next series and not only have the team you sweep be one of the top teams in baseball, asterisk, Komodo Dragons.
Komodo Dragons.
But not just sweep them, but utterly shite can them 3 games in a row. This hasn't been a sweep. This has been an utter decimation, like against Chicago White Sox the previous series.
That's right. Got to agree with all of that.
I've got to pause here, Scott. Can you rant for 10 seconds while I listen, when I go check on what my dog is crunching in the next room?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm just going to talk Pittsburgh for a second here because I think that it really was a bit of a shot to the gut for the Pirates to show up at PNC Park and have such a huge Blue Jays fan contingency there. I mean, on Saturday's game in particular, the fan base for the Blue Jays was loud. And you could hear go Blue Jays, go chants, drowning out Pirates chants. And this is a good Pirates team. I was there in September for the Jays-Pirates series and totally different atmosphere. The Blue Jays fans outnumbered them. And, you know, anyone who is going to those Pirates games who were Pirates fans, pretty disheartened. And they're just like diehard fans, right? I mean, the Pirates were already mathematically eliminated in September. They were literally just going to be in the ballpark. So they were quiet. They were subdued. It was a pretty loud back and forth. I know on Sunday, Pirates fans were getting so frustrated with Jays fans. They were literally booing us. They wouldn't start go Pirates, go chants. They were just booing the Jays, go Jays, go chants, which I found quite funny. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. Pittsburgh's a good team, but we're better.
Hey, you know what? Pittsburgh as a city has got its act together, color coordinated across all their sports. The Steelers, the Pirates, the Penguins, black and gold. Yeah. Look, honestly, I love that so much just because, like, as a sports fan in that city, you buy a jersey from any of your teams, you take it to any game you want, right? Like,
yeah.
You fit right in with a Steelers jersey at a Pittsburgh Pirates game. So I think that's great. I think more cities should do that, to be honest. All right. So here's one from. This one comes in from Dulchmerist, old time friend of the show, Dulchy.
Dulchy.
Says, Brandon Belt's career numbers show he always starts slow and then really heats up in May. Hoping that's also true for 2023. So what are your thoughts on this, Scott?
I mean, he's right. He has a track record of starting slow and May being his best month. And not just his best month, but like he's normally dynamite in May. We watched him come out of his shell in Pittsburgh. I don't know if it was the National League pitching or just feeling accustomed to the surroundings. He knows the pitching in the National League better, or if it's just, it's May, baby, time for him to do what he does in May. But either way, he has looked phenomenal the last few games. We touched on this yesterday too in MLB Monday's Patreon exclusive, is took his walks, hitting balls into the gap, getting some doubles, showing some power. These are all the things we wanted out of Brandon Belt when they went out and signed him. Okay. He was hitting in the five hole, something that really, really, like, with Dalton Varsho going, like, he's going, Dalton's hot. So Vladdy was out of the lineup. Dalton was slotted into the three spot. Belt was slotted in to the five hole. That really breaks up the righties when you can do that. And you could tell it was a pain to the Pittsburgh pitchers. It really was, right? Like, they just couldn't get locked in and struggled to get through innings. They never plowed through this team, right? Like, they'd get a clean inning and then it was back to the top of the lineup and then they'd struggle again. So I love what Brandon Belt is doing currently. Fingers crossed it continues and that this is the real Brandon Belt we're seeing. Still a small sample size to truly say that he's fixed, but does give me hope.
Okay, so I love the positivity and I hate to throw cold water on this, but I'm gonna. So Brandon Belt, we're going to look at a couple numbers here. Career batting average and OPS. So batting average for his career, 260. OPS for his career, 812. Now, how does his April, March compare to his May? Career splits for April and, you know, the two or three games that ever happened at the end of March. 245, and let's just call it April, with an OPS of 780. So below average for his career. May goes to 272 batting average and an OPS of 859.
Okay.
So the trends do back that up, that yes, slow starter, typically below average in April, well above average in May. However, if we look beyond that into June, it dips right back down again. 253 batting average, 808 OPS. July gets worse. 241 batting average, 707 OPS. It does start to tick up again towards the end of the year. August looks better, 268. September, October, 285. So he's at his best at the end of the season. That is,
I'm fine with that.
Why we brought him in, right?
Yep.
You mentioned Dalton Varsho and the little bit of a heater that he's on. So much smaller career sample here, but his
April, much smaller, by the way.
Yes. His April career average, 204. His May career average, 283.
Hey,
I don't get too excited because in June, his career average is 161.
Weird.
So is it weird or is this just all of baseball? So I wanted to look at, yeah, I did the homework for, it's May 9th and I've already done my homework for the month. So don't ask me to do it again. But this is the trend of baseball. It does appear to be. April is lower, May is higher, and then June, it's lower with slowly getting better towards the end of the year. So this feels like
wild
adjustments back and forth. I'm looking at George Springer's numbers. I'm just going to read batting averages. So, I mean, the OPS matches as well. Just trust me on this. Look it up yourself if you need to, if you're listening at home, but you can follow along. So George Springer career splits for April, 248, May, 286, June, right, 254, July, 257. And then by August, it's back up to 270, September, October, 284. You're thinking, well, that's just the good players. What does Kevin Biggio's numbers look like?
Get out of my head.
No. So April, Kevin Biggio, 142. May, 233. He does continue to get hot through June. Career numbers, 259. Yeah, hot for Kevin Biggio, career 259. And then July is where he sees his regressions, 197, before picking it up towards 246 in September, October. Well, what about some of the all-time Blue Jays, Adam? That's what you're probably wondering. What's Jose Bautista's number look like? Have you pulled his up? Well, I have. And his April looks like a 240 batting average. His May is a 283 before, guess what? Dropping in June, 239 batting average. What about some of the all-timers? Barry Bonds, what do his numbers look like? Well, they always look good. But in April, they're lower than average. April, Barry Bonds, 293. May, 302. Before, guess what? 289 in June. It dips right back
plummeting.
Down,
Scott. Plummeting to a 289.
It is his worst split for all summer months for Barry Bonds is June.
Barry Bonds, Griffey Jr., not a Hall perhaps? Of Famer, right?
Yeah. Not a Hall of Famer. Yeah, exactly. Ken Griffey Jr. batting average in April is 272. May, it's up to 286. June, it's back down to 276 before ticking up 294, 303. Interesting Ken Griffey Jr. career batting average in September and October, 266. But I think this is just kind of the way baseball goes. Like, you know, it maybe takes hitters longer to get in their rhythm than it does pitchers out of spring training.
Mm-hmm.
They find their rhythm in May and then pitchers adjust, or I don't know if fatigue sets in by June, what's going on, but it's it does seem to be a pretty common trend that, yeah, generally speaking, and again, these are anecdotal sample sizes of seven players I looked at, but there's a pattern here, Scott, and that is numbers are typically great. Lower in April, they uptick in May, and then by June, adjustments settle things back in. So,
well, number one, great job. Thank you. Love the research. Number two, not quite the cold water I was expecting. I'm still hopeful of Belt and like the trend here. And number three, I had no idea of this adjustment and readjustment graph that goes on throughout baseball. So,
you know, it's cool interesting stuff. Because we hear that about from season to season as a guy makes his major league debut, right? Like they come in rookie yeah. season's great. Year two, the league adjusts.
Sophomore slump.
Year yeah. three, they adjust back and there we go. And it's on a month to month scale, kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah. Crazy. Love it. Crazy. Baseball. What a funny little sport.
Funny little sport. Okay. Next, we've got Alek Manoah extension talk. We brought this up on the MLB Mondays, Patreon exclusive yesterday, but we threw it out as a little teaser clip on the old YouTube here. Look, it's a simple question. Is now the time to extend Alek Manoah? People could not be further divided on this. We got several comments that basically all fall in line with these two opinions here. So the first one, yes. Aaron Ginsberg says, no, the time to offer Manoah an extension was the 2021 offseason. You don't get great deals on long-term contracts without taking on risk. And then Brad Hood says, way too soon to offer Manoah an extension. He's still basically a rookie pitcher with only one full season under his belt and very short minor league experience. Hold tight on this thought. So what is it, Scott? Is it we missed the boat already or we're way ahead of...
I don't think there's one way to skin a cat. There's no rules as to when a contract can be signed or an extension can be agreed upon. If you're going throughout the track record of contract extensions, yes, I think that it is possible that it has gone a little long to try and negotiate with Alek Manoah. Now, perhaps if you offer him a very similar deal to the Spencer Strider deal, now that he's struggling, maybe that's a possibility. There's validity in both of those comments. There really is. Okay. you have to, as an organization, take a risk if you expect to get a deal. Now, we could even argue that this organization took a fairly substantial risk on Kevin Gausman, and it is paying off big time. And it does look like they probably save themselves somewhere between $3 to $5 million a year by locking him up when they did at the price they did. It goes the other way too, though. Look at Jose Berríos. We have examples of both of these right here on this team. Do you take that risk? Do you wait it out? Look, there's even examples. Look at Frankie Montas, right? This was the guy everyone wanted at the trade deadline. You don't know when injuries are going to come up. Carlos Rodon is a great example with the Yankees as well, right? They put a bunch of money into this guy, and turns out he's out indefinitely. We're not even sure when Rodon is back. I know we mentioned it yesterday that he has a chronic back problem currently, and there's no timeline as to when he returns. Okay, so there's risk in any major contract you're going to sign. The organization is going to weigh these risks and go about it that way. Listen, this Blue Jays front office has done a lot of things to prove they're prepared to spend money. One thing they have never done is they've never given that big major contract to Wander Franco, the Acuna Jr., the list goes on of locking up their young stars before they're proven. There just isn't an example of it. So if I'm just going to bet on the reality of them offering Manoah a contract, I don't think it's going to happen. So I think that whatever the guy's name was there that was like, they missed their boat. He's probably right, but I don't even think he missed the boat as much as they're just not going to do it. They didn't do it.
They never wanted on the boat. Vlad.
Yeah, they never wanted on the boat.
They wanted to just wave from the dock.
Yeah.
As the boat leaves. Hopefully not. Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, I guess we haven't, we haven't seen them offer any money in-house.
No.
Have we? I can't think of a single.
Grounds crew, do the research. I honestly, for this particular regime, there's nothing coming to mind of them locking up an in-house developed player.
Wonder what their track record was in Cleveland. Cleveland doesn't strike me as a team that was signing their guys. Yeah, it'll be interesting, I guess, to see how it plays out. So you're saying don't expect a big contract for Ricky Tiedemann when he makes his ML debut this summer.
Listen, everything is by player-to-player scenario, and everyone is different, and maybe they value Ricky differently. Who knows? But no. Yeah, until they prove they're prepared to do this, like if you just look at the philosophy of the Atlanta Braves front office with Alex Anthopoulos at the helm and the Toronto Blue Jays regime with Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro at the helm, they vary vastly on where they land on this. We've watched the Braves lock up all of their young players. They have picked and chosen their core that they want to build around. We've watched them go out and get Sean Murphy, the catcher they desired, and lock him up long-term. They've just locked up Spencer Strider. We already know about Acuna. They went out and made sure that who did they let go to the Cubs there? They made a decision on Dansby Swanson that they weren't going to lock him up. But, you know, like very, very different philosophical, I don't know.
Do you think one is better than the other? I know if we had Joel on, he'd be screaming from high heavens that
honestly,
the Alex Anthopoulos method is better.
I don't know which method is better. I really don't.
I don't think we have a big enough sample size with that Atlanta experiment to see if that's actually the right way to go. It's still very early.
I love the guts, the moxie of doing it. Because you're really handcuffing yourself if things don't go well, right? However, things get expensive doing it the Shapiro way, where you're going to constantly bolster your young core with George Springers and Kevin Gausmans. And
my concern with the Atlanta method is that even if it's still too early in the experiment to label it a success. Well, no, I guess not. They have won a World
Series.
It's a success. Yes. End of argument, right?
Yes.
But I think if you said 30 teams are all going to do the Atlanta method, there's still only one team winning the World Series every year. So I don't think we can really say that prove that that method works, right? Like, there is a little bit of luck involved. Mm-hmm. A bit of luck. But long term, even if it does work, every contract that you offer, the guy turns into a superstar and you get a screaming deal. That is my definition of did it work, right? Mm-hmm. You're offering money to people who don't turn into Jose Barrios, right? How well does this Atlanta Braves team do 6 years from now or 5 years from now, when they have seven superstars who all feel like they're being vastly underpaid? Like, is that a fun locker room to be in? Is that a, you know?
I mean, I don't know. But if they're winning, maybe it is. Maybe they're prepared. Like, this is the thing, dude. It's not like these guys are being... they're still getting their $160 million or whatever their contracts each wind up being. Like, it is mega money. And if they're winning and the endorsements are coming in and they love each other in that clubhouse, maybe it's great. That said, you do hear rumors of discontent from Ronald Acuna Jr. already. He fired his agent. He's not happy. I don't know how to answer that question, man. And I don't think anyone will really know, except if you're in that clubhouse, right?
One thing I do think, though, is the go all in, gamble on some contracts, like believe in your guys, whatever, however you want to call it, or take the wait and see approach that Shapiro and Atkins are doing and bring in big ticket free agents while your young guys are affordable. I think that's just as valid. And I think as long as you go to either end of the spectrum, you're fine. Like, as long as you're not doing it kind of half in the middle, like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to see the Blue Jays just offer, I don't know, like they extended Bo for the 3-year deal. If they had just locked him up this year though, for 15 years or 10 years or whatever at 300 and whatever million, I don't think I would have liked that. Like, unless they were also doing it with Vlad and also doing it with everybody, like either lock up the whole core or I don't know. It's weird.
Would love to hear from the grounds crew. Let us know what you think. Which method do you prefer? Do you like what Atlanta is doing? I think it's great. Do you like what the Jays are doing? I also think it's great. I kind of agree with you, Adam, that it's like pick a lane and go with it. Like, you gotta make a decision, because riding the fence is where bad things happen. So, I love what Anthopoulos is doing, but it is an unproven method to this point. I know they won a World Series, but they have really gone all in on this method since winning that World Series, by the way. So, yep. It is going to be interesting to see what happens. And we've also watched them make their decisions. It's not like the Braves are doing it with everyone. They let Freddie Freeman go. They let Dansby Swanson go, right? Like, they are picking and choosing.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Okay, last two here come from Patreon. First one from Wyatt. Comments, sends messages all the time. So shout out to Wyatt. Says, hey fellas, got a question for Monday's mailbag this Tuesday. Why is it all the MLB and MLB fans complained about the Jays home run jacket last year? Talked about how it was the most ridiculous thing ever. And yet you don't hear anybody complain or bring up how dumb the cheese hat is, or the samurai helmet, or the foam trident, or the painted Darth Vader helmet. What's going on here, Scott?
or the home run jacket in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I truly believe the Jays are a little bit of a trend-setting team. We watched it with the bat flip and Jose Bautista. My God, the pushback baseball had about that. Oh, how could he show up? The Texas Rangers, such disrespect. And now we literally, I was in Pittsburgh. I watched freaking Zawinski for the Pirates take a walk. He bat flipped his walk. Like,
no, he at didn't. This point, did he?
Yes, he did. I was yelling. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's bat flipping his walk. Look at that. Take your walk. So impressive. Gosh. But that's baseball now. And it's so fun to watch. And it's let the kids play came out of that. So I think this is just an extension of that. The Blue Jays felt that they needed to get more focused, right? Attention to details, the new mantra of the 2023 Blue Jays. And sometimes they do it quite well. And other times we're going 5 games losing in a row, right? So I think it's just the way it is. Whenever you're the first to do something, you're always going to take heat. And then it just becomes the norm. And I truly believe that that's what these home run celebrations are all about. And it's why no one has a problem with it now. You know, you see it enough and you're like, ah, this is no big deal.
Fair enough. Yeah. The Jose Bautista bat flip's a good example. Guys like Yasiel Puig, these guys that just played with a little extra flair and got ridiculed for it, right? It's the old, they walked so we can run.
Yes.
I don't know what the actual expression is here.
I'm no, sure you nailed it.
All right.
You nailed it. You kicked that cat right down the road, bud.
That cat right down the road. We skinned it too. yeah, that's all it is. It's like you said, they got ridiculed for. Were they ridiculed across the league?
No, Yankees.
Or was it just like. All right. I just thought it was just Blue Jays fans that didn't like it.
Nah, I don't know, man. Who knows? they did get ridiculed around the league, but there are also plenty of Blue Jays fans who hated it too. And we're going to get comments being like, thank God it's gone. So, you know.
Yep. All right. Last one here and we'll get out of here from Alec Bleacher, new Patreon, by the way. So thank you for the support there, Alex.
Yes.
Says, this comes from our conversation on Monday about Shohei Ohtani. The influence that he's having on baseball, obviously what he's doing is exceptional, to say the least, as a two-way player. Are we going to see this lead to an influx of more two-way players in his wake? So Alex Bleacher says, I could totally see more two-way players who double down as bullpen arms. Not necessarily high-leverage guys, but guys who are good enough to pitch in games to keep bullpen guys fresh. So a position player on the mound who actually knows how to pitch, I guess, is the theory.
This is a very interesting take, and I really like it because it is outside the box thinking. So thanks for the comment there, Alex, and welcome to Patreon. Really appreciate the support. You can see how it would be a major advantage not needing to take up a bullpen spot and using a position player as a pitcher. However, I guarantee the second the Tampa Bay Rays start to do this, there will be a rule that stops them from doing this. And yes, I do think it will be the Rays that pull something like this. I think when it comes to bullpen pitchers, they are trying to get away from using so many of them. They want to stretch out the pitchers, the starters. This is why they're trying in the Atlantic League the double hook DH, which means that as soon as they pull the starting pitcher, the DH gets pulled as well. So you lose your best hitter when you take your starter out. And so they're trying to encourage teams to go with their starter for longer periods of time. So to see teams do the Shohei and have a two-way player come in to pitch in the fifth is going against what baseball is trying to prevent. So despite the fact I love this idea, and I think Alex is onto something, and I think this is something we will see eventually happen, I do think that baseball will push back against it and do their best to eliminate it from being a regular thing. I could be completely wrong. Where are you at on this, Adam? Do you see this as a possibility?
I don't. And that's because I think pitching is harder than bunting. And hear me out. Guys do not have the time to spend learning how to bunt proficiently at an MLB level, because all they're doing is learning how to hit at an MLB level. So if we don't see any minor leaguers coming up with the skill set of knowing how to lay one down, the thought that they know how to throw a curveball and hit the strike zone with it is kind of like generous to think that's, again, I'm not the biggest Shohei Ohtani fan, but it is phenomenal that he's able to do both as a top 10, arguably, on both sides of the plate. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty special. And I just think that, yeah, there is going to be a new wave of kids that are 18 right now going to college, who are going to see what Shohei Ohtani is doing. And maybe they are a highly recruited college prospect, and they're going to think, hey, I can do that. And no, you can't. I just want to get that out there. No, you can't. Like, maybe you can. One in 10,000 people can. You're probably not one of them. I don't know. I just, again, I
agree with you, man. I mean, how many professional baseball players are there? If you go majors, AAA, AA, and A and low A, that's the professional baseball pool. How many of those are two-way players?
Yeah.
One. So it is a good point. And I think that teams will push you away from being a two-way player unless they have no leverage. And we talked about this yesterday with Shohei Ohtani. This is why he's a two-way player. Because when he went out of high school, the Nippon Baseball League was like, we want you, we want you. And he was like, well, I got to play both or I'm going to college. And so they gave it to him. Then when he posted to the major leagues, everyone was like, can they convince him to just be a pitcher? And that's what they wanted him for, right? His pitching. But he was like, no, I'm not signing unless I can do both. So the Angels were like, okay, we'll let you do both. Because that's how good he won. That's how much leverage he has. So unless you are literally the tops of the top in both categories, there's going to be major pushback to you being a two-way player.
Yeah.
But Shohei, he showed it could be done, right? Yeah. Not impossible. One guy's done it.
There you go. Hey, Babe Ruth did it like 100 years ago too. So who knows?
Yeah. So who knows what we're going to be talking about in 2140.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll see. Anyways, that is the mailbag for today.
Thank you so much for all of the interaction, everybody. I am in Philly, and if you are as well, come say hello. At Walk Off Podcast on Twitter, feel free to give a follow. Feel free to reach out. You can DM if you are interested in our Discord link, and we will send that to you. The Walk Off Podcast on Instagram, and of course, a tip of the hat to all of the Patreon members. I think we got 4 new members yesterday. So thank you so very, very much. Really appreciate it. Our Patreon numbers grow. There's more and more reasons to be a part of the Patreon. I know that there's folks who would never want to spend $4 on us. And you know, the fact you're even if you're commenting to tell us that we suck and you wouldn't you don't even want to see this for free.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Thanks so much, everybody. Take care.
Bye, Dad.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh, with a drive. Cheese and cracker shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.